Hey friends, Andy Herman here. Before we get into today's show, I just wanted to take a quick moment to thank all of our sponsors all throughout the year, specifically Habish Habish Rotier, Luigi's Frozen Pizzas, ZBiotics, and Prize Picks. They've all done such an incredible job supporting us here at Packaday. If you have the moment, please make sure to support them as well. One of the best ways that you can support the channel is by supporting our sponsors. Again, a huge thank you to Habish Habish Rotier, ZBiotics, Prize Picks, and of course, Luigi's Frozen Pizzas. Thanks for your time. Now on to today's show.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
What's going on, Packers Nation? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Packaday Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Packaday Podcast. You are all wonderful human beings for being here today. If you want to be even a little bit more wonderful, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. And of course, make sure to check out those Packaday Podcast YouTube memberships as well. Today, we are going to be going over Mecole Hardman. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go through and walk through my grade for Isaiah Simmons from 2024 and all the things that I learned by watching his snaps. Today, I'm going to be going over everything that I learned from watching Mecole Hardman and his snaps from this past year and give you my grade for him as well. Just a little over 100 snaps. So these first two are a little bit easier. The good news is I do have Nate Hobbs done and graded and notes taken. However, you're going to have to wait for next week until that one. And then hopefully we get to Aaron Banks next week as well. So you're just going to have to wait a little bit longer. But those were really, well, the Banks one is still coming, but the Hobbs one was really, really fun to go through. And yes, I'm very excited to go through Mecole Hardman as well today. Before we get into that, I do want to start today by going over Jair Alexander. Just kidding. Know a lot of you are sick of the Jair Alexander conversation. I get it. I understand it. We shouldn't have to talk about Jair until about week 17 now would be my guess. So you are welcome for that. And no, there's no plans of anything else Jair related unless something else crazy comes up that Jair says in a press conference or something like that. But no, I think we are officially past the entire conversation. So for those of you who are very excited about that, you can, here's a toast to you. We can be done with the entire saga at this point, right? And like I said, best of luck, obviously, to Jair in Baltimore. That's a good spot for him to end up. But yes, we are officially done now. We're putting a fork in it in its entirety. All right, the real thing that I wanted to get into before we get into our main topic, which again is Mecole Hardman, is the Packers did announce their training camp schedule. So there are going to be, I think it's 13 practices that are open to fans, as well as family night. And then technically there is one other one if you want to travel to Indianapolis as well. The opening one, of course, we knew already was July 23rd, Wednesday, July 23rd at 10:30 a.m. in the morning. All of the practices, save for the family night practice, are at 10:30 a.m. So you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to open everything up, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. You get the 26th off. Then 27th and 28th, a Sunday and a Monday, back-to-back practices, 29th off, then the 30th and 31st, you're practicing. The first is off, family night is on the second, third and fourth are off, fifth, sixth, seventh, all practicing again, 10:30 a.m., eighth is off, Jets at home on the ninth for the first preseason game of the year, 10th, 11th off, 12th is open at 10:30 a.m., 13th is off. 14th is the practice in Indianapolis with the Colts. If you want to travel to Indianapolis, not that far away. If you're in Green Bay or Southern Wisconsin, especially, definitely drivable. If you wanted to go do that, that is again, the 14th of August on a Thursday. 15th is off, followed by a away preseason game in Indianapolis. Easy to say on the 16th, 17th and 18th off, 19th at 10:30 a.m. 20th off, and then the final practice of training camp on the 21st at 10:30 a.m., which will be a joint practice against the Seattle Seahawks. And then, of course, on the 23rd, they will face the Seahawks at home in their final preseason game. Couple notes here, just a reminder that the 23rd, 24th, 25th, those first three practices in July, there's that ramp up period, right? So they're going to be shorter practices and no pads during that time frame. My guess is the first padded practice is probably the 27th, that Sunday. If not then the 28th on that Monday. But usually, again, it takes some time to ramp up to that. So if you're only getting to go to one or two practices and you want to see them in pads, well, don't go on the 23rd, 24th, and I think the 25th as well, as they have that ramp up period. And again, usually don't get into pads right away. They're not allowed to get into pads right away. The other thing is that usually the best one is that joint practice, that very final one. That is, again, the 21st of August on a Thursday. There is only one, well, I guess family night is the other one, but outside of family night, there's only one weekend practice. That is Sunday, July 27th at 10:30 a.m. So if work week is a little bit of a struggle for you and you want to get out to camp, the 27th that Sunday or family night are really going to be your only two options. And yeah, I think those are kind of the main things. The last thing I'll say is, if you have not been to training camp, and I know some of you are obviously overseas, some of you are far away, and it's not an easy thing to do. Maybe you can't do it this year, plan for it next year. It is an absolute must for Packers fans. It's not as great as game day, right? There's always something special about Lambeau Field, but just getting out there, it's summer in Wisconsin. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's the Green Bay Packers. It's everything that you possibly want. They do a great job with it. The stands are filled. The fans are amazing. Go see the stadium tour. Go to the Hall of Fame. Get yourself a cherry wheat over at Hinterland right across from the stadium. I cannot recommend all of it enough. I do have a video out there breaking down everything that you should do during training camp. If you want to go see that, look it up. It's definitely out there on the YouTube channel. Cannot possibly recommend getting to a Packers training camp practice enough. If you can make it happen, go to multiple if you can. Definitely worth it, and worth your time traveling and your visit and everything like that. Usually the best way to do it, if you can, like if I were to do it, I would probably do like the 19th through the 23rd, something like that, where I could go to the 19th practice, then the 21st joint practice, and then the 23rd preseason game. So I kind of get the best of all worlds. That's probably how I would do it, but there's never a bad time to attend training camp. You could also do something like the 30th through the 2nd, a 4-day trip where you get the 30th, the 31st, and then family night on the 2nd. You could do the 5th through the 9th, and then you get three practices, and you get that Jets home game for the preseason game as well. So there's a lot of different ways to do it, but if you can, definitely find a way to do it. All right, that brings us into our main event, our main topic for today, which is Mecole Hardman. And as I've mentioned yesterday with the Isaiah Simmons one, yes, we've done a deep dive scouting report on Mecole Hardman already. This is different. This is me going through and actually grading every play for the player and observing the things that he did from a different lens. The lens that we used the first time was a scouting lens. What is the height, weight, speed, the athletic profile? What can he bring to the table? What are you hoping that he's going to become? Remember, scouting is projecting what he's going to become moving forward. A analytical view of what he did in the previous season from like a coaching lens or an evaluation lens is different. It's what he did for you, or more specifically, what he did for the Chiefs this past year. So two totally different lenses. One is what you did. One is what we think you're going to do. So the ones we did in the past are what we thought you're going to do. This is more of what he did this past season. And again, looking at it from a grading standpoint. It's worth noting here that Mecole Hardman was signed prior to the draft. And at that point in time, we knew Christian Watson was hurt. You've got Romeo Doubs. You've got Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, then Bo Melton, Malik Heath, and Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman comes in thinking, this is great. I am, competing with really Bo Meltons and the Malik Heaths of the world. And I have the ability to maybe even make it as like a number four wide receiver. And even if they go out and draft a Savion Williams, something like that, right? In the third round, still as a veteran, I'm going to have every right and opportunity to go out and even beat him and still maybe be the number four wide receiver on the team. Of course, the Packers do not just go out and draft Savion Williams in the third round. They also go and get Matthew Golden in the first round, two wide receivers in, plus a Watson returning at some point, plus Wicks and Reed and Doubs, plus you're still fighting against Bo Melton and Malik Heath. And this is now a much more difficult wide receiver room to break into. I don't know if Mecole Hardman would have signed with the team had he known all of that was going to happen, but I do still think he's in a good spot to compete for a potential 53-man roster spot, partially due to his special teams and punt return prowess, but also he is off to a great start in OTAs and minicamps as well. More on that in just a moment. Actually, screw it. More on that right now. The two big plays from minicamp were Mecole Hardman. On day one of minicamp, he, on the very last play, two-minute drill, Sean Clifford gets the ball, 1 second left on the clock in that two-minute drill, drifts back, dances around a little bit, throws up about a 25 to 30 yard Hail Mary, a mini Hail Mary, and Mecole Hardman goes up, one-handed catch, comes down with it for a game-tying touchdown. Then the following day, fourth and 20, he's with the ones in this particular drive, fourth and 20, Hardman streaks down the field, runs past Gregory Jr., and connects with Jordan Love on a 74-yard touchdown completion, where we really got to see Mecole Hardman's speed up close and personal for the first time as a Green Bay Packer. And it was fun. He was accelerating and he was running past people and it looked awesome. So he is off to a great start at minicamp. And like I said, the punt return ability is what's going to give him a real chance here, but don't discount or knock the wide receiver ability as well. He has the ability to make this team as a number six wide receiver just based off of his wide receiver ability alone, but the punt return ability is probably what could set him apart and give him a much better chance at making the 53-man roster. As far as the grades go, as mentioned, he only played 115 snaps this past year. So there's not a huge sample size. It's pretty small overall. And again, this is only grading offense. This is not grading returning or special teams or anything like that, just his offensive grades. From a snap standpoint, his snaps have continued to go down over the course of the last 4 years. 4 years ago, he played 723 snaps. 3 years ago, 318. 2 years ago, 218. Last year, 115. So he continues to see those snaps decrease. But in those 115 snaps, he played pretty darn well. PFF gave him a 72.8 grade. Remember, 60 is average. That's a good grade. It's, again, a small sample size, but it's a good grade. I had a plus 0.45 grade on him, which, again, given the fact that he barely played, only 115 snaps, is a good, solid overall grade for Mecole Hardman. I was impressed overall. In fact, I'm surprised he didn't get more opportunities in Kansas City, because when he did get the ball, whether it was on some of the gadget plays or end arounds that we'll talk about in just a moment, he performed admirably. I thought he looked good, and I thought there was more opportunity out there for him. So I graded him well. PFF graded him well. If you look at where Green Bay's receivers were this past year, Jaden Reed for me had a plus 8.75 grade. Romeo Doubs plus 3.55. Christian Watson plus 3.40. Wicks plus 1.8. Melton plus 1.15. Then it would have been Hardman at plus 0.45 and Malik Heath at just an even neutral grade. Per PFF, remember, 60 is their neutral grade. They actually had the highest grade of anyone on Mecole Hardman, a 72.8 grade for Mecole Hardman, 71.7 for Jaden Reed, 70.0 for Watson, 69.7 for Doubs, 65.1 for Wicks, 63.2 for Melton, and 62.9 for Malik Heath. So just interesting, again, smaller sample size, but PFF actually had their highest grade of any of those players on Mecole Hardman over Reed, Watson, Doubs, Wicks, etc. So it's an interesting way to look at it. Again, PFF and I do things a little bit different. Theirs is more almost like an average grade, right, for what they've done. Mine is more cumulative and added up over time. So it's a little bit different there, but you still sort of see some trends there. And for them, they clearly liked Hardman with that 72.8 grade. And like I said, I liked them as well. Two solid grades, even if it was a relatively small sample size. Now, there is plenty that I enjoyed with his tape, even though it was only 115 snaps. And there were still plenty of takeaways, even from what was out there. The first thing, and we saw this in the scouting report as well, but his ability to be a gadget player. One of the players that I compared him to when he initially signed and when I did kind of my scouting report on him was Tyler Irvin. And the way that Matt LaFleur utilized Tyler Irvin in his offense a few years ago, and really just the player in general, right? Tyler Irvin was the primary punt returner, was used as a kick returner, and was used as a gadget player within the offense. But he was really not a running back. He was really lined up more in like a wide receiver role, and then they would use him in jet sweeps and motions and things like that. That's a lot of how Mecole Hardman was used in KC this past year. And I could see him being used that way again in Green Bay. Punt returner, possibly a kick returner, and then lined up out wide and then used in a lot of different ways, whether it be, again, as a gadget player or just as like the next thing on my list too was how they used him as a decoy. You know, sometimes, not always, but sometimes just having somebody with a 4-2-40 ability just gives you some speed down the field, and teams know that they have to run with that player because you can't just let them run free in the secondary, right? So utilizing that player who has all that speed as a decoy, if they can't be this dynamic wide receiver, is not the worst way to utilize that player. And we saw it in KC this last year. They used him that way quite a bit. And it's not just stretching the field vertically, it's stretching the field horizontally as well. And when you see a player like Mecole Hardman come in motion with that great speed, and you see him, you know, zoom past, it gets that defense flowing in a direction because they know if they do give the ball to Hardman and you get outflanked by him and he gets the ball, like, he's gone. He's going to take that ball right up the sideline for a touchdown. And he showed that ability in KC this past year. So that speed is a great use to stretch a field vertically and to stretch a field horizontally, even when he's not getting the ball. And that's a lot of how KC used him, was simply as a decoy. Just sprint him out there and have defenses have to go with him. And that has value in and of itself. And again, it was a huge way in which Kansas City utilized him. I will say, though, he did not get much opportunity as a true wide receiver. And just watching him, both on tape from this past year, as well as in OTAs and minicamp so far, I think that's a mistake. I think he can really give you something as a true wide receiver, whether in the slot, whether as a outside wide receiver. There were a couple plays on tape in KC where they would use him in like a motion and then zoom him upfield. And he was getting open and it just wasn't like they weren't looking in his direction. I think there is more opportunity to get him involved. And clearly we saw in minicamp this past week where, or I guess a couple weeks ago now, where he was able to get open on a pure route with his pure speed and catch a 74-yard touchdown. So I actually think there is more opportunity there for Mecole Hardman as a true wide receiver, that you don't just need to utilize him as a gadget guy or as a decoy, and he can give you some true route running ability and some true wide receiver ability, whether that be outside or in the slot. So gadget him all you want, decoy him all you want, but feel comfortable in the fact that if you want to put him out there as a wide receiver, he can do that stuff as well. And the biggest thing with Mecole Hardman, whether it be as a punt returner, as a decoy, as a gadget guy, or as a pure wide receiver, is that that speed, it's real. And you see some of the plays on tape in KC, and it's just a different pace. It's a different speed. It's awesome to watch. And you saw it again on the 74-yard catch a couple weeks ago at the end of minicamp, or I should say the Wednesday of minicamp. You can easily see it play out in real time when you're watching that play, of how he's able to get downfield with that speed. But again, everything that he's doing fast in a good way, not, you know, trying to do too much or anything like that, but it's just, there's a quickness to it. There's an acceleration to it. And that 4-2-40 is legit. So that shows up on tape, and it showed up certainly in person this past week. We'll see how it looks when the pads come on, but I don't expect anything to change because again, it showed up on tape this past year in KC. We'll be right back. I will say that when he was utilized as an outside wide receiver, there were some things that he struggled with. First of all, is press coverage. When corners are able to get hands on him, he is maneuverable. He's smaller. He doesn't have a lot of bulk to him. And more physical corners, when they're in his grill, up on him, hands in his chest, there's a real legitimate redirection to it. It's not just like, you know, some wide receivers, you'll see they get popped in the chest and it's like they didn't even feel it. Like they just run right through that stuff. Mecole Hardman, he gets popped in the chest and you can see he's off track. It's not the same route. It's not ever like it's going to take a second for him to, you know, recombobulate and get down the field again. So that's something that he needs to continue to work on. But if you do get physical with him at the line of scrimmage, it can be a little bit of a struggle for him to stay on the route and not get, sort of shoved off course a little bit. The other thing is that Casey did not really ask him ever to be a run blocker on the outside. And we know how important it is to Matt LaFleur for his receivers to be able to run block on the outside. Casey didn't even ask him to do it. They're like, we know that's probably not what he's going to be able to be good at. So, and that I think is a huge reason too, why, and this makes all the sense of the world, Andy Reid's a really smart coach, rather than keep Mecole Hardman out there to block, right? So let's say you're running a stretch play to the right side. Mecole Hardman's as your right wide receiver. You could run and Mecole Hardman could block for you, but instead I'm going to pull Mecole Hardman in motion. I'm going to fake the jet sweep to him, then run that, you know, sweep to the outside or that stretch play to the outside. And now somebody went with Hardman to the left. He's sprinting full speed. You got to go with him or you got to account for him. And that way you're hopefully taking somebody with you as you're doing that. It counts as a block, even if it's not a block, because somebody's running with him to the opposite side of the field. So I think he can still have value that way. But if you're going to use him as a true blocker on the outside, just know it's probably not going to end super well for you. What I did like is that we talked about him being like a gadget player, even just as a receiver, but they found ways to utilize him as a wildcat quarterback and in the backfield as well. And I think there are legitimate opportunities to put Mecole Hardman in the backfield. I'm not talking as like a full-time running back here, but you could hand the ball to him as a pure running back. Like you could do some fun stuff where we've seen in the past with Jaden Reed, amongst others, where they'll put a running back in a receiver and they'll run that play where they motion the receiver to the outside. And then it's basically a read, right? Where if the numbers are advantageous to the outside, you throw that little bubble screen outside to Mecole Hardman, and he's got usually like a Tucker Kraft and a Christian Watson, like two good blockers in front of him. And now you've got basically like an outside wide receiver screen with advantageous numbers. If more people go out there, then you hand to the running back, you run inside. And you can also off of that, if you want, also read that play. So you let the defensive end go. You're going to hand it to the running back. If he goes down and tries to take out the running back, you could keep off of that as well. It's a really fun concept. Green Bay has been really good at it for a long period of time. Now they haven't done much with the read option on the back end of it, but if Malik Willis is ever in there, or if they just want to start running Love a little bit more, they could even do a little bit more of that. But that's a core concept. I do think that Mecole Hardman lined up in the backfield running that stuff, or even some wheels out of the backfield, is definitely in his wheelhouse, no pun intended, and something that I think he could do a very good job of by utilizing him in that role in Green Bay, if again, Green Bay so desired. Don't think they really need him as a wildcat quarterback as much, but he did some of that as well and did have some success with it. As mentioned, the jet sweeps look really, really good because of the speed. I posted one on Twitter the other day if you want to go check that out. Again, just showing off the speed, getting around the corner. And again, if you're not accounting for him, he's going to take it to the house. And that's exactly what he did on one play in KC this past year. He had a couple other ones that were pretty close as well. I would also say that the Chiefs offense is just... it's a weird thing to say because it's KC and it's Patrick Mahomes and it's Andy Reid. Their offense was just weird. They really, really, really struggled to hit explosives down the field. And I'm a little bit surprised that they didn't give Mecole Hardman a little bit more opportunity at that, because I think some opportunities were there to hit on some of those throws to Hardman. And we already, again, saw it in minicamp that if he gets open, throw him deep and he's going to run underneath it. And it's going to be hard to overthrow him because of his ridiculous speed. So I actually do think that, again, if you want to utilize him a little bit more as a deep threat within your offense, even just an intermediate threat, I do think he has the ability to do that. I think there was stuff there in KC that they could have utilized him more for, and they just didn't for whatever reason. I think if Green Bay does keep him on the 53, they will be able to find creative ways to use him. I think KC may look back if Green Bay figures it out and say, maybe we should have utilized him just a little bit different. Clearly, he can be very dynamic with the ball in his hands, both as a punt returner and just as a receiver, runner, however you get him the ball. And I'll just say one more time, I do think there were opportunities out there for KC to get him more involved. Just didn't, for whatever reason. They had a lot of mouths to feed in that offense as well. And like I said, their offense has just kind of been in a weird spot. They haven't been able to find that rhythm. It's been a little bit weird to watch, but I like the signing for Green Bay. And I think there's more out there for Hardman than what Casey utilized him for this past season. Those are my key takeaways and what I learned. Again, I love his gadget ability. He didn't get much opportunity as a true wide receiver. Can use him as a decoy. The speed is legit. Struggled with press coverage. Can use him as a wildcat quarterback or as a running back if you want. The jet sweeps are legit. You do not want to see him run block. Chiefs offense was weird. I thought they could have utilized him a little bit better. But when he did get the ball in his hands, he still had the ability to be very dynamic, again, both as a returner and as a weapon on offense. For Hardman, punt return is going to be huge. If he wants to beat out Bo Melton and Malik Heath for that number six spot, if he can show that he is the true number one punt returner on the team, that will be a huge, huge way and a huge opportunity for him to make this roster and this 53 and, again, have more opportunity to be active on game day this upcoming season. The other thing that I like about him that we haven't talked about yet is he is a veteran in the locker room. He is a Super Bowl winner. In fact, he's a Super Bowl hero, catching a game-winning touchdown pass in a Super Bowl. And I do feel like he brings a little bit of a different mentality and a little bit of a different presence to that wide receiver room. And it's something that I really like. I think just adding a veteran into that group is not the worst idea in the world. They're going through some of the stuff as there's a lot of young players, a lot of competition, and guys wanting as many reps as they can get. I think having that veteran in that room could go a long way in just, you know, easing some concerns of those wide receivers and having a veteran to put your arm around and talk to when you need to. I think that actually can have some value as well. What I'll end by saying here is this wide receiver battle, Hardman, Melton, and Malik Heath, battling it out for roster spots on the back of the roster and as a number six or even number seven wide receiver, I think is going to be one of the really fun battles of training camp. I really like all three of these players. I think Hardman, Heath, and Melton are all 53-man rosterable players. We talked about it. They could keep none of them. They could keep two. They could keep one, but they're going to have to fight it out. And I think these three are all capable of winning that spot, but probably only one of them does. And that's going to make for, again, one of the more exciting and enticing competitions as we look forward to training camp coming up here in about a month. That is going to do it for me today. Really, really excited about, again, that wide receiver battle and intrigued as to what Mecole Hardman can bring to this team. I liked what I saw on tape. I liked his overall grade for, again, both me and PFF. And I think there's something there as a veteran in that room with crazy speed, Super Bowl experience, veteran leadership in the room. There's reasons to keep him for sure. I think this is a good value signing by Goody. We'll see if it can ultimately pay off for him. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Mo State and Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Jay Conner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, Pack Attack Cast, and Chris Weish. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.